There are countless ways to mother, and they don't always need to include children. I think the best thing that we can do in service of our own self-love is to give to others all that we are without expectation of return.
Another kind of mother is about rewriting the script around our ideas of mother and mothering across cultures, historically and spiritually, in order to free both women and men from within the constraints of a dying paradigm. And all of this in service to creating a more beautiful world. I'm Delphine, and I'm really glad you're here. Welcome, Alana Helepitage. It is so lovely to be here with you. I have seen you describe yourself as an artist, a poet, and a trauma alchemist. So to just give us a sense for what that means for you, want to start?
Yeah. There? So for me, what it means is disrupting the lie that we have to constantly chase better versions of ourselves. And instead, I want to show whoever I love and serve that they can be and love who they are so unshakably that everything they create comes from an outpouring of that love.
And how did you come to doing this work?
I think hating myself for so long that I grew sick of it. And from the time I was about 22, went on a very profound and long-term journey of personal growth and healing, did everything from conventional psychotherapy to energy work. And through that, came into the knowing that in order to experience the love that I wanted, I had to learn how to love myself. And essentially all of the work that I've been doing since then is sharing what I've learned on that journey.
I love that you've listened to this call from a personal need first, but then sharing that with the world, because the work that you are doing is the reason I created this, because it is my knowing that when we heal those pieces within ourselves as individuals, everyone around the world, that's where we begin to heal all of the crises that exist in the world today, whether it's the environment, whether it's politics, whether it's greed, whether it's whatever, that when we're able to come back to a place of loving ourselves, we don't hoard, we don't pollute, we don't hate, we don't have wars, we don't do these things.
Yes.
So delving into the topic specifically of mothering and motherhood, I know that you've had a unique experience with that yourself. Can you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I had the deep, deep honor of helping to raise a little girl who belonged to my ex-fiance from the time she was 3 to the time she was 7. And during that time, I did everything from helping with homework to bathing to having deep heart-to-heart conversations around boundaries and self-love and how to care for herself. So I really have done a lot of work to dissolve the shame around that mothering experience not adhering to social ideals of what that should look like, and just honoring that raising and mothering children can come in so many different forms, and what matters is the consistency and the love.
The shame around what that should look like in terms of, can you speak to that?
Yeah, so, well, she wasn't my biological child. And I'm in my mid-30s now, so I don't have biological children. So dissolving the shame around biological motherhood being either the only or the best kind of motherhood, while still holding the intention that I do want to be a biological mother. And also the fact that I'm not in contact with the child at the moment, because of some dynamics that were going on in the relationship with her father. And I made a conscious choice not to be, for the health of everyone involved. But it was dissolving shame around the idea that I had abandoned her, which I now know in my bones is the opposite of what is true.
Yeah. Wow. What an incredible, heartbreaking gift of love you gave to her. How old is she today?
She is 10.
I would imagine it's probably challenging for her to have a sense of what a gift that was. I'm imagining from a child's point of view, they see it very differently.
Yeah, I have a strong sense that the memory of the love that I gave is stronger than the memory of the loss. Not the loss of love, which will never leave, but the loss of my physical presence in her life at this time. I do intend to reconnect when she's 18 and can choose for herself whether or how she maintains contact with me. Yeah.
What an incredibly healthy way to be able to hold this. And I have incredible empathy for the process of having to go through that experience of the shame and the guilt and the blame around what she thinks, what other people think, and the judgment that comes with making decisions like that.
Yeah. I mean, it's been the biggest grief of my life, but a partner I once had said that grief is the purest expression of love. And though the grief is sometimes feels like torture, especially since it will be another 8 years before I reach out, loving her is the thing I'm most proud of in the world.
What you brought to that relationship, do you feel it was from a place of having done a lot of healing work for yourself, and you were able to bring a more whole relationship to this idea of mothering to her? Or did you find that this initiated some of your own healing work around mothering?
I think it was both. I had been on a long journey of reparenting the parts of myself that were wounded as a child. I experienced and witnessed some deep trauma growing up, including domestic abuse, sexual abuse. And from that place of doing a lot of work on myself, I did have access to a level of acceptance and compassion that I think really served her. And in raising her, it brought me up against all my perceived unworthiness, the fear around losing her. I would constantly have visions of her like getting run over by a car or something. And that was my own attachment wounds, you know, fearing abandonment of the person I loved the most. And so my challenge was to just be intensely present with her in the moment. I didn't have control over, you know, any legal custody, anything like that. So it was just when she was with me, I was with her 100%. I can count on less than one hand the number of times I was on the phone when she was with me. Like, I was really present. And that was healing for both of us, I think.
Oh my gosh. I just zooming back and thinking in terms of the medicine that we choose for ourselves on a soul level in this lifetime, and that she chose you for this period of time for healing and being able to receive that kind of unconditional love and presence.
Her first words to me were, "I've been waiting for you."
Ah, yes. Wow. Wow. Having had this experience and anticipating the possibility of having your own biological children, of course, it's impossible to know how that will affect it. But what do you imagine for yourself in that?
Yeah, so I keep having a vision of myself having a son. I love the idea of raising a good man, and most of my relatives are men on both sides. So I do have this kind of calling, I think, of raising and healing good men. Lots of travel and cultural experiences, and instilling in my child a deep value for service. There are volunteer experiences that even toddlers can participate in, and so I want to lay a foundation of him being a steward of others, of the planet.
Wow. For people who are, I mean, this was a choice for you. You could have chosen not to mother her, different than were it your own biological child. Is there anything you would want to share for others who may be stepping into this situation with stepchildren, with other circumstances like that?
Absolutely. There are countless ways to be a positive influence for a child. And being in a step-parent role or coming into a blended family dynamic without being the biological parent, that can look anywhere from being a supportive neighbor to being a parent figure who commits and invests in the same amount, if not more, than the child's biological parents. And my urge to anyone entering this dynamic is to have conversations early on as to what you have the capacity and the desire to sustain. Because going along with a dynamic that you feel forced into will only implode and will ultimately not serve the child, because what that child needs is a loving and consistent adult presence. And it's critical that you can define what that means to you with the biological parent to see if that would be sustainable in the family and for the child. Yeah.
Mm. Good wisdom that I'm imagining in the throes of the newness of romantic relationships may not be something that people even consider.
Correct. Yeah, and a lot of people, it's like they love the child, they love the partner, they want to maintain the relationship at all costs and don't create a healthy boundaries or frameworks for that relationship to really be sustainable. So I it's better to lose those relationships than do them in ways that ultimately hide a lot of unmet expectations and resentments. Yeah.
What I'm hearing in your circumstance, and this may be too much of a leap, but in a way, the relationship with the child is the primary relationship.
100%. Yeah. And that doesn't have to be true for everyone. But for me, speaking for myself, in any family dynamic I'm in, if there's a child in front of me, they're the most important person in the room.
Mm. Wow. That is a perspective that I've not heard expressed in the same way. And what a difference it would make versus the seen but not heard way that so many of us were raised, and would address so many of the issues where I have friends who are speaking recently about their kid just dying for attention and acting out as a result. And yeah, centering the child.
Yeah.
Wow. That's, yeah. I'm picturing people putting their kids on their profiles as you're on dating apps and
yeah.
feeling, can I take this whole package and yeah. And what a whole different paradigm.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's not about spoiling or self-indulgence. And often those things, you know, buying the children things or allowing them to use technology, you know, unlimited or things like that, are really a way to manipulate the child into liking the parent.
Right.
So I'm not talking about that, the kind of overindulgence. I'm talking about listening, meeting the child in their world as a whole human being, understanding what their needs are, what their interests are, following their curiosity, playing, prioritizing quality time. And I'm proud that I've been able to contribute that, not only in the child's life that I mentioned, but in my work as a teacher and as a nanny, as a young woman, and for my nieces and nephews, and yeah.
True presence.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you find that it is possible to be able to offer that to another if you haven't experienced it yourself?
Yes and no. Okay, so yes, meaning I think people can be amazing parents who did not grow up in loving or functional households if they do the work to create an experience of unconditional love within themselves, within the context of supported relationships, where they are resourced enough that they don't look to the child to meet adult needs. And no, as in, if we don't have that felt experience of unconditional love, wherever it comes and whatever way it comes, then that needs to be established before we can truly provide for a child. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And the felt experience of unconditional love is such a key. There can be that unconditional love there, but when there are the barriers to that unconditional love, where we unconsciously block the knowing of that, then it's not available to share in that relationship. And unfortunately, if we are unconscious in that way, we often enter into relationships as parents without the skills to be able to manage it.
Yeah, and it's very common. And I don't blame parents who have entered parenthood in that space, because I don't think it's right to blame others for things that they aren't aware of. But if we do have the ability to choose when we enter parenthood, you know, I made a lot of sacrifices to get to where I am today in terms of not having children as young as I might have chosen to, ending relationships that didn't serve when I could have had children within those relationships. And it was all in service of cultivating a sense of unconditional love within me that was strong enough to truly provide a life and a foundation for a child that they could truly be people who make a difference in this world and raise the consciousness of the planet. Yeah.
And you having the wisdom to do that is an uncommon thing, I think. Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and not blaming, because I was one of those people who unconsciously, even though it was via adoption, I was as conscious as I was capable of being in that moment and had no idea how incredibly unconscious I was. And being able to have the courage to make choices for the benefit of the child in the face of external and internal judgment is not an easy thing.
Correct.
I so witness you in that. Yeah. Yeah. And two, knowing that when this young woman is old enough, and when my daughter is old enough, who knows what choices they will make or whether they'll even be able to see or acknowledge what was to their benefit. Being able to release that is an act of self-love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really is. It's an intense grieving process, and one that creates an unparalleled level of freedom. And I can't say that I've mastered that yet. Because a part of me would just imagine I'd feel completely destroyed if, you know, she didn't want to see me again. Or, and I'm practicing love without condition. Of an outcome of return. So I'm, yes, it's a practice. Not one I ever think I can perfect, but it's worth it. Yeah.
Yeah, I know in that process myself, I have this vision of when she is such and such an age. Holding it all with compassion for wherever we are individually in that process.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for this beautiful wisdom around this incredibly generous act of mothering. Are there any other pieces you'd like to offer around that?
There are so many, and I think I said it in the beginning, but I'll add some nuance to what I said, which there are countless ways to mother, and they don't always need to include children. I think the best thing that we can do in service of our own self-love is to give to others all that we are without expectation of return. And there are very few relationships that can be done so purely as with children and with animals. So if you don't like one, go with the other and you'll be all right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining me on Another Kind of Mother. If you enjoyed the podcast and can review it on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, it'll help this message reach more people. And a special thanks to Wendy Colonna for our theme song called Shine.